Tonight, I'm going to begin with chapter 12 of Revelation. This is the woman, the child, and the dragon. The woman, the child, and the dragon. Revelation chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. And before I read this, I'm going to just take a verse-by-verse approach tonight. But I want to back up a little bit. At the seventh trumpet, where we had just covered this, it was a great declaration made in heaven concerning God's final triumph over evil. And John hears loud voices in heaven declaring in Revelation 11, verse 15, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." So this is going to be kingdom dominion. Amen. It's going to be the kingdom of the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. And when the seventh trumpet sounds, it's going to be a terrible time on the earth. And Revelation 12 and 1 says, "Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars." Now the woman here is Israel. And not the church, and not the Virgin Mary, as some would say. And there are four different women mentioned in Revelation. The first one is Jezebel. We see that in Revelation 2 and verse 20 as being the high priestess of paganism. And then the scarlet woman in Revelation 17, which is the high priestess of apostasy. And then the lamb's wife, who is the blood-bought church, that would be you and I in Christ. And that's in Revelation 19, verse 7. And then Israel mentioned here in verses 1 and 2. So the woman is a sign of national Israel. And we have to distinguish between that which is national Israel and that which is spiritual Israel. And that's how we can, I think, have a proper interpretation of Scripture. Joseph, remember, he was speaking to his brothers and his father, Jacob. In Genesis 37, verse 9, it says, "Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, 'Look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun," here it is, "the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me." Now, we just read that there's 12 stars here. Well, he has to include himself in one of those, right? So we see that in verse 10. It says, "So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, 'What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you?'" See, he wasn't quite understanding God's plan at that time. So they questioned it and thought, well, maybe it was the pottage that he had earlier or something. But the woman clothed with the sun and wearing a crown of 12 stars was just like that in Joseph's dream in his Israel. So the sun, moon, and stars depict the glory and dominion which has been promised to Israel in the coming kingdom. Just as the sun, moon, and stars picture Joseph's ultimate rule over his father, mother, and brothers. So there's a type there. And we know Jacob is referred to as Israel, right? It's important to distinguish, again, between national Israel and the spiritual Israel, which is a church. And remember, the church came from Jesus Christ, right, from our Lord. And the church is made up of those who were born of the Spirit of Christ, a new creation in Christ. Ephesians 2:14. "For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when, in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from two groups." One new people, right, from two groups, or one new man, right? Jew and Gentile brought together in one new man, which is Christ. So Christ is the one that brings us all together and holds us all together. So there's no class distinction here anymore. Amen. Israel has a purpose, a God-given purpose in the earth. Amen. But Israel was not superior to non-Jewish peoples. Amen. To the Gentiles. It was that God had chosen them for a specific purpose, and that was to represent him in the earth. Until such time, amen, when God's promises would all be fulfilled for national Israel and Christ would come, of course, and we would become joined together in him and become spiritual Israel. So we have to distinguish between the two. And so we got to be careful of this replacement theology. Also, you know, where people say, well, the church has replaced Israel, which isn't true. We just read Romans 11, and there's other scriptures as well that say that's not the case, that we've been grafted in, right? Contrary to nature, we were grafted in, and we stand by faith. So the church came from the Lord. Now, the woman clothed with the sun, Israel, right, is depicted here as being clothed in what? The glory of God. What is the sun? The glory of God. So the Lord is also referred to in Malachi 4:2 as the sun, S-U-N, of righteousness. Yeah. So Malachi 4:2, but to you who fear my name, the sun of righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. We know that's our Lord Jesus, amen, the Messiah. So this woman, Israel, was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit to give birth to the man-child. Who is that? The Lord, right? Christ Jesus. So salvation is of the Jews. Revelation 12:2. Then being with child, it says, verse 2, she cried out in labor and gave and in pain to give birth. So remember the angel said to Mary in Luke 1:35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you. And that word overshadow means to envelop in a haze of brilliancy. So the woman clothed with what? The glory of God, the Son. You therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born, will be called the Son of God. So our Lord, in his flesh, he came forth from what? Israel. He was confronted by Satan, who is represented in this next verse, in verse 3, as a fiery red dragon. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, so you see the gospel message here being presented, okay? Represents the perfect wisdom God gave Satan when he was created. The seven heads, right? But look at verse 3. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having seven heads and 10 horns, and 7 diadems on his heads. So we see that 7 represents what? Perfection, right? So this perfect wisdom God gave Satan when he was created. It says that he was perfect. Was it Ezekiel 28? Talks about that. And his 10 horns speak of universal power. Even as we saw the 10 toes in the vision, right? In Daniel of Nebuchadnezzar. And so that speaks of universal power. And that's going to take us to another subject here in just a few minutes about this coming world dictator or ruler, the Antichrist. He's going to come on the scene. He may be on the scene now. Things are certainly lining up, aren't they? And pointing in that direction. And so the devil, by the way, is not stupid, as some people say. Okay? He was perfect in wisdom. God had invested so much in Lucifer until he fell. Amen. And he still has power, but he doesn't have legitimate authority. Jesus has that authority. Amen. And so 2 Corinthians 4:3 says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. King James says the God of this world has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So what's happening here? The God of this age, the God of this world would be Satan, right? Small g, all right? The usurper, the one who usurped authority from Adam, all right? He's a master deceiver. And we need to be so careful, like we were just mentioning earlier, how easy it is to be deceived. To believe a lie as though it were true. We really need to be on our toes. We need to be prayerful. And we need to be critical thinkers. And we need the Holy Spirit to be the one to lead us into all truth. We need to rely heavily on the Word of God and the Spirit. And Ephesians 2:1 says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who's that? That's Satan. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Now, back to Revelation chapter 12, verse 4, his tail, it says, drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Who would that be? Our Lord, right? And her child was caught up to God and his throne. That talks of his ascension, right? So we see here that this dragon who took a third of the stars, what would that represent? The stars represent those hosts, those angelic hosts that fell with him, right? And so the dragon, who is Satan, led a rebellion. He took a third of the angels, then set out to destroy the Christ child as soon as he was born. Remember? Remember Herod set out the word, every child under 3 years old, all right, every male child was to be killed. And so Jesus fulfilled the plan of God in purchasing our salvation with his own blood on the cross. And then he was caught up to the throne of God in heaven, where he now is our intercessor, our great high priest. Amen. Aren't you glad we have a great high priest? And so he's now waiting for the command of the Father to go get his church. In verse 6, it says, the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God. Now, this is where there's a lot of controversy. What does this mean? When is this happening? Is it now? Is it later? Where she has a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. One perspective is this is speaking of the church. Another is this is speaking of national Israel. Okay, I don't want to get into arguments about this. But we do know that there's coming a time, it's going to be a 3.5 year period, when this remnant, I believe, of Israel is going to be supernaturally protected by God. Now, God took care of them, as we know, during the wilderness wanderings, and he will certainly take care of them in the future as well. In Jeremiah 30, verse 7, it says, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. And it is a time of Jacob's trouble. Jacob is referring to Israel, right? But he, Israel, shall be saved out of it. God's going to have a place for them to go. Amen. He's going to spare a remnant of his people. We see that also in Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. At that time, what time? Time of Jacob's trouble. Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble. By the way, this Michael is not Jesus, amen? It is the archangel Michael. There are some that pervert that and get people going in a whole totally different direction with this. But there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be, what? Delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 1. Now, I want to shift into this and take a look at this passage of Scripture, chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. But concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. Times and seasons, is that referring to feast days, dress rehearsals? Times and seasons. Well, when the apostles asked Jesus when he would set up his kingdom, he answered that it was not for them to know the time and the season, times and the seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority. Now, we know at the time when he was addressing them, certainly, amen, it was not for them what he was referring to. But the times and the seasons are in the Father's authority. He determines those. And so we're often trying to discover what are the times and the seasons. When is the Lord going to come? We're trying to get sometimes narrowed down to an approximate day, an hour. And, you know, we can't know the exact day, but we can know the approximate time. And I know sometimes, guys, we get into, you know, even the Jewish feasts, which are interesting, how they seem to be like dress rehearsals of that which is going to come. And so on certain feasts, you know, that people are really wondering if the Lord is going to return or not. But I feel like we have to remember what the Lord said, that when the Father determines, when he says, you know, he didn't explain much about that. And I think it's on purpose that we can, you know, we can debate about this. Is it going to be on the Rosh Hashanah, you know, or what day is the Lord going to return, you know? I think he's going to return when the Father says, son, it's time for you to return. to go get your children. I know that may sound simplistic, but that's how I look at it. I feel like we need to be about the business of our Father. Amen. Winning the souls. Amen. Making disciples. And not get so caught up in just when and how and all this. I think it's interesting. And it's there's no problem in learning about these things, but we shouldn't learn to the degree or focus on this to the degree where we are being distracted away from our primary mission, and that is the Great Commission, right, of our Lord. So, it's clear by the Lord's statement that the times and the seasons were a future time, we know that, prior to the setting up of His kingdom on earth. And so we're going to continue 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 2. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord, what? So comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety. Now, let's take a look at this. Then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. So the day is going to come as a thief in the night. Suddenly, unexpected, right? But it says when verse 3, when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. He's speaking to the church. He comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Well, we know there's an escape for us in the Lord, not from persecution, not from tribulation. But there is an escape from the wrath of God. Amen. We have not been appointed to that. It's very clear. So Paul said that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. In other words, it's going to be completely unexpected and it's going to catch people off guard. Okay, so it's going to come after a great time of falling away or a great falling away, an apostasy. That means the falling away from the faith. And the revealing of the Antichrist. How do we know that? Well, 2 Thessalonians 2:3 says, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. This is speaking of the Antichrist. Now, think about this, guys. Are we in a time of peace and safety right now? No. As a matter of fact, we're in a time of chaos. The world is very chaotic right now. And isn't it interesting that the New Age, the New Agers, the pagans, you know, I have a saying, peace out of chaos or order out of chaos. So the idea is that you're going to have to completely corrupt, disrupt, reset everything. Crash it down. What's happening in our nation right now? They're taking down all of our identity. You know, they're trying to destroy the identity of the American, you know, of our nation. Right. Right. So out of chaos, they want to produce what? Order. And the order they're talking about is their new world order, which the Antichrist, of course, will rule over. So that's what a lot of this is about. So before there's going to be any so-called peace and safety, which is going to be a pseudo peace and safety, because it says when they say peace and safety, then comes sudden destruction. So right now what has to happen is there has to have this world chaotic situation arise, right? So that people will begin to say, what can we do to stop all this? We don't enough already. We don't want any more chaos. We don't want any more craziness. How can we come together and have peace? And here's where the spirit of Antichrist is very active right now in getting people to comply with a narrative that's being spread by mainstream media. Right? To tell people that they're going to have to submit to whatever they're told to do or else. It's getting to the point where it's do or else. The enemy is a bully, isn't he? He wants to bully people into submission, using fear as a tactic and creating chaos to get people fearful so they'll start to accept whatever's being fed to them. Oh, you're going to take care of me. Give me free lunch. Give me free stuff. Here, you can have my freedoms. Just save me from this stuff that's coming. You see what's happening? And unfortunately, a lot of Christians are buying into this too. They're getting caught up into the fear. And they're starting to just to conform to whatever the narrative is that's being spread by the media, which is being controlled by really the spirit of Antichrist. They're part of the false prophets that are out right now in the land, propagating all this stuff, saying that we're going to have, you know, world peace. We're going to have peace and safety, but we're going to be the ones that are going to bring the peace and safety. The same ones that are causing the chaos are going to be the ones with the solution. And that's how they're deceiving people, right? Into buying off into this and going along with it because, well, I just want peace and safety. And they're taking away the rights of the parents over their children so that the government was now trying to be parent to your children. Take away your individual freedoms, your rights. And so it's going to be in a time of peace and safety. So that's not happening yet, is it? But it's going to happen before, you know, this sudden destruction hits. This kind of destruction. There's chaos in the world. We see the birth pangs. We certainly see the floods, the storms, the tornadoes, the crazy weather condition, hailstones, right? Huge hailstones coming down all over the place. The pestilence, the plagues. Yeah, all that. And volcanoes everywhere across. So we see all these things happening and in frequency and increasing in intensity. Just like a woman, Jesus said, in travail, right? Getting ready to give birth. So 2 Thessalonians 2:3 says, let no one by any means deceive you, right? For that day will not come. What day? That day is again referring to the day of the Lord. Unless the apostasy or falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Guys, I believe that God is moving, that God is bringing in the harvest, that people are waking up, people are coming to Jesus. And I believe also that we're seeing a falling away at the same time. I believe we're seeing a separation taking place. People are going to have to choose a side. But you can't be in the middle anymore. And if you choose the side of the Lord, that could very well mean persecution. Because the forces of Antichrist are poised against the church, against God's people. So we know that before, the Lord returns, literally, the Antichrist must first come. He's going to have to come to power, right? The question is, when does the rapture occur, or is it the same event? The rapture is going to occur when the Father says, now it's time, because no one knows the day or the hour, right? Except the Father. All right, that's where I'm going. So that could happen anytime. But verse 4 says, but you, brethren, 1 Thessalonians 5:4, are not in darkness. Who is he talking to? The church. So this day, what day? Day of the Lord, should overtake you as a thief. Verse 5. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We, speaking of the church, are not of night nor of darkness. So the day of the Lord will be a time of wrath, right? For the unsaved and unprepared people of the world. Now, Paul said that we, the church, are not in danger of this day because we are not in darkness. Because again, he was speaking to the church in this passage of scripture to comfort them because they thought the day of the Lord had already come. That they're in it. That somehow they're going to be subject to that wrath. So if we understand the day of the Lord speaks of the wrath of God that's coming and that the church has not been appointed to that. So the judgments of the day of the Lord are aimed at those who are in spiritual darkness, but not sons of light. All true Christians are sons of light and sons of the day. Why? Because God said so, right? He says, you are the light. You are the salt. In Christ, we become the light. And so that's what he said in verse 6. He said, therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk are drunk at night. So we are admonished, we are instructed as God's people to be what? Watchful, right? To stay awake spiritually. Okay? So in the natural, sleep is associated with night. So in the spiritual realm, careless indifference characterizes those who are in darkness. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober. putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. In other words, we need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for our flesh. Walk in the Spirit. We'll have life and peace no matter what. Verse 9, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. In other words, whether a person has already died or they're alive and well. Amen. So what is he saying? We're of the day. So God didn't appoint us to suffer his wrath. And some have thought that this is actually speaking of hell. But actually, I don't believe it's speaking about hell. It's speaking about hell on earth, which is a future, time on the earth. But it's not talking about hell here, where it talks about the wrath of God. It's talking about God's angry judgment on the world of the ungodly. And but it's future events on earth. And in verse 11, he said, comfort each other and edify one another just as you're also doing. Now, how can we find comfort from this unless there's a promise in this? And a promise of what? Of escape from the day of the Lord, the judgment on the ungodly. All right? When God pours out his wrath upon the world of the ungodly. That's not who we've been appointed. We're not appointed to that as his church. So this is not to scare or to discourage the church, but to comfort and edify and build them up. And remind them that, hey, this day is coming. So we need to be prepared, amen? We need to be prepared to meet the Lord. He was reminding them that because they were children of light and belonged to the Lord, they would be spared from the day of his wrath. So then in verse 8 it says, but let us, I'm just repeating this, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. So guys, I believe that, just like Jesus said, we're going to have hard times. We have hard times in this world. We have tribulation. But God came for a bride, for a people, to redeem people, amen, that they might be with him. He said, I'm going away, amen, in John 14. But if I go away to my Father's house, I'm going to return to receive you. That where I am, where's that? The Father's house in heaven, amen. There you may be also. So he's going to come and take us with him. Hallelujah. So his bride has a special place. And those who are looking for him, he shall return a second time without sin unto salvation. And I believe those who are looking for him are those who have not made this world their permanent home. We're just campers, right? We're just passing through. We're a pilgrim people. So I just feel, guys, that we need to, again, focus on the weightier matters here. The most important thing is that time is running out, I think, for the opportunities that we've been allotted. Someplace, the Lord said, the night is coming when no man shall work. Okay? So that means that we still have opportunity. We still have light. We're still in that dispensation of grace. So now's the time to work. Now's the time to reach out, amen, to others with the gospel. Because the time is coming when no man will work. In other words, that opportunity will be over. And it's the same, I believe, again, back to, as Jesus said, it would be like it was in the days of Noah. Remember, he was a preacher of righteousness, and they didn't know until the day that they entered into the ark. And the Lord took him away. But God was long-suffering even in that generation, not willing that anyone should perish. And today, I believe the Lord is doing the same thing. And a lot of the things that are happening right now, I believe the Lord is also allowing for the purpose of waking more people up and causing people to realize that we need God. That the things that people were trusting in cannot be trusted. And I'm hoping that many people will wake up and realize that the government is not your savior. Amen. We must trust in the living God and only him. And God uses government. Amen. But our faith, our hope, our trust has to be in the Lord. That's the only security that we have, that our soul is secure. And, you know, our bodies are temporary. Our bodies are earth suits. You know, they're wearing out, aren't they? But we're going to get a new glorified body someday. Praise God. So let's be about the business of the Lord. Amen. Pray every day and ask the Lord, what can I do for you, Lord? Show me what to do, where to go. People will call you out of the blue, right? And you'll have opportunities. Just say, Lord, I'm available. Just give me opportunities. Open doors for me. It's amazing. If you make yourself available, the Lord will use you. And he'll give you the wisdom. He'll give you the power. He'll give you the boldness. And he'll just speak up when you need to. But you got to ask him. So that's it for tonight. I just wanted to focus a little bit on this. And that there is coming a day, as we know, when the wrath of God will be poured out. And right now we're in a time of chaos, and it's going to increase, I believe, until we get to a point where someone who we believe to be the son of perdition, the Antichrist, is going to come on the scene, and he's going to supposedly have the solution to all the chaos. And of course, he will be the same one that created the chaos. But then he'll present himself as being the answer to the chaos. Does that sound familiar? And so the church needs to be mindful, needs to wake up, realize what's happening. Amen. And know that that day of the Lord is going to come. It says, as a matter of fact, the Lord himself is going to destroy the Antichrist, right, with the brightness of his coming. So we're not appointed to the wrath of God, but we are in a preparation time. We're in the dressing room of eternity, and we've been given an assignment, and the Lord has allowed us to partner with him so we can bear fruit in this time that we're in, right, this dispensation of time, until the time comes when no man will be able to work anymore, and there will be a complete takeover. It's going to happen. I love America. I love our country. I'm going to stand for its freedom. I'm going to fight, amen, on my knees for this nation and do what I can to make a difference, amen. But we know that eventually, you know, everything's going to fall under Antichrist. But the kingdoms of this world are becoming what? The kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. And when the Lord returns, he's going to destroy their Antichrist with the brightness of his coming and establish his rule, right? His reign over all the earth from Jerusalem. Very clear.